some baseball as we're joined on the Tiller and Rye telephone line by Evan Drellick, who covers the Astros for the Houston Chronicle. Evan, welcome back to downtown.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has indeed. And I'm going to say right up front, great move on your part for all kinds of reasons. But certainly from a baseball perspective, you're in a lot better place with the way these Astros are playing. It's a good, young, and exciting team to watch.
Yeah, it is. And it's a little sooner than people expected that to develop. You know, everybody knew and expected the Astros would eventually be a competitive and exciting team. The development that's surprising is how soon they've been able to do that. You know, Sports Illustrated had that magazine cover last year predicting them to win the World Series in 2017, and here they are now with a real shot at making the playoffs 2 years earlier. So it's definitely an exciting group. They play an exciting brand of baseball, a lot of power. They've got speed as well. So it's certainly an interesting team.
Well, and with this being a little bit ahead of schedule, that also means they're likely to be players here in less than 10 days when the trading deadline approaches, and Cole Hamels' name has been mentioned quite a bit. Will they be a team that looks to buy at the deadline?
They're absolutely looking to buy right now, and starting pitching is the priority. You know, Hamels has always been on the market for a long time, and how the Phillies have handled him, certainly the Red Sox can probably attest to this too, but it's kind of puzzled people. The asking price has always been high. You would think at this point that the Phillies would be finally ready to move him, but he's a good pitcher and he's under control and the contract's reasonable enough that you know, they could also decide to hold on to him. But you know, from the Astros standpoint, there are other guys out there who are rentals, and that might be the least costly route to go in terms of prospects you'd have to surrender. Johnny Cueto is a big name. The Astros like him. Jeff Samardzija. Scott Kazmir, the A's. So you know, the market might only grow from here, which might only benefit a team like the Astros. You know, if the Red Sox decide to sell, that only further adds to the number of sellers and could put the buyers in a really good position.
Evan, so many good young players on this team, but none has been more impressive to me in the early going than Carlos Correa. Is he as good as he's looked in these first month, 6 weeks or so?
Absolutely. You know, first overall draft pick. The interesting thing with Carlos was when they took him, they weren't sure how his body was going to fill out. There was a consideration that he might end up looking a little bit more like Miguel Cabrera, kind of that big slugger type at a corner infield spot, because he's tall for shortstop. He's 6'4". But he's gone the other direction. Physically, he resembles a young Alex Rodriguez, a Manny Machado, really muscular kid, 5'2" ability, who can do it all. You know, I don't think he'll ever hit for a tremendous amount of power, but 20, 30 home runs is certainly possible, and he's got as much potential as anybody in this game. And he might be the most talented player in the Astros organization right now, and that's including Jose Altuve and George Springer.
Well, you've got a unique perspective, having covered the Red Sox and now watching the Astros, and here they are together this week. From your perspective, what is wrong with this Red Sox team, and is it such a lengthy list that we can't cover it all in short time?
You know, Ben Sherringer is actually going to speak here in a little bit, and then probably could better go down the list of things than I could. It clearly, some of the acquisitions did not work out the way they expected. You know, I was just talking to Shane Victorino, and it's surprising to him because you do look around the room and you do see the guys that should be able to produce, right? And kind of one after another, be it Rick Porcello, be it Pablo, be it Hanley, just things haven't gone as you would have thought. And it's perplexing, and I certainly don't have an answer for it. I'm curious to hear what Charrington has to say here shortly. But it is perplexing because when I left Boston after the 2013 season, the feeling was that things were only going to get better for the Red Sox, and that's definitely not been the case.
Well, John Farrell was one of those guys who had been a manager, didn't work out tremendously well, but people thought that he would be good in this second go-around. Now, in Houston, you have a situation with A.J. Hinch, who had a chance. It didn't go all that well, but, boy, things really seem to be working now. Is he approaching managing differently this second time?
Absolutely. You know, he's considerably older. He was 34 when he first took the job with the Diamondbacks. It was a bad situation in 2009 there. He was almost doomed from the start. The team looked at him as something of a front office lackey. He probably was just too young, but he's learned a lot since then. He's allowed himself to be more of himself. You know, he doesn't, I think in Arizona he would take actions that he felt he should rather than kind of following his own gut instincts, right? And I think he's a lot more natural and relaxed now in this job. And he's really helped instill a great clubhouse culture here. And you can't take winning out of that and how important winning has been to that. But and mostly new coaching staff, a new manager, and a lot of new players, and it's all come together in a way that it didn't have to. And it's impressive that the culture of the Astros has kind of turned as quickly as it has.
Is the fan base embracing this team?
Slowly. You know, the Astros had television viewing issues for a long time. They weren't available to a majority of the television markets here. It's a football town. You know, from what I'm told, when the Astros were at their peak in 2005, they were very much embraced in Minute Maid was a place to be. But we're not seeing that kind of fever yet. Certainly for the city's sake, I would hope that the fans take note and come out in greater amounts as the year progresses and maybe as they get closer to a playoff spot here. But the Astros knew this was not going to be an immediate process, that they would not get the fans back right away because they embarked on a tanking mission to this, and a rebuilding project that kind of inherently turns fans away. So they're coming back, but it's not an immediate gratification situation.
Evan Drellick covers the Astros for the Houston Chronicle. Evan, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me.
5:45 here on Downtown. I will take a little break.